Our reading this morning is in Luke chapter 1 and verse 26. And we'll read just a few verses. If you have your Bible, if not, I'll read these verses to you. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greeting. You are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid. Mary, you have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who was said to be barren in the sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Matthew tells us Joseph's side of the story, but Luke tells us Mary's side. And of course, we read those scriptures together this morning from Luke chapter 1. Very interesting to learn about this young lady. And so maybe for a little while we can focus our thoughts upon her and see what the scriptures say concerning her and how that can apply to us today. Mary was the only human person present at Jesus' birth and at his death on the cross. And I was thinking that the pains and pleasures of motherhood can be understood by mothers everywhere. The story of Mary began in Nazareth. Now, Nazareth was a small town. The little research that I was able to do, it would indicate that it was about the size of Walkerburn, to give you some idea as to the size of this little village. It had a reputation for being a tough town. It was the place that you wouldn't hang around in. You would pass through quickly. And those who stayed for a few days, I'm told by those that have studied history, they said they would be Gentile merchants, as it being on a trade route, or Roman soldiers who were garrisoned there. The Jewish families who stayed in Nazareth, they would be hard-working people, but and not very affluent, but apparently quite devoted and pious. There was a synagogue in Nazareth, and it would be that synagogue that the Jewish families would socialize and learn about God when they came together and worship him in that place. Because it was such a tough town, and it was known for a little bit of thuggery at times, people didn't really want to spend much time there, as I've said. In fact, in John's Gospel, we read of a man who said to a disciple of the Lord Jesus, when he said, "Come and hear about Jesus of Nazareth," He said, "Can any good person come from the town of Nazareth?" And he was probably referring to the poor moral reputation of that town. But it's in that town that Mary's story begins. I think it might be fair to say that in the early years of Mary's life, they would be quite satisfactory. Like any other Jewish girl, she would be expected to help in the home. She would support her mother in different ways. She would go to the well to draw water so that they could wash and drink from. She would purchase bread from the local bakery if it wasn't cooked in their little stove in the kitchen. She would help to look after her brothers and sisters. And possibly each day, she would go to the synagogue to learn about God. It would be in the synagogue that she would learn how to read. She would be taught in that synagogue that God is holy, but that he is also merciful. But she would also be taught that God was someone who should be obeyed. Now, when Mary was around about 16, perhaps a little older, maybe even a little younger, she was introduced to a young man that appears she fell in love with. Mary, in common with all the Jewish girls of her day, would be looking forward to being a wife and a mother. She would trust God that the man that she would marry would be one who would be kind to her and understanding, a man who would take care of her, a man that she could love and respect. And it seems that in Joseph she found that very person, someone who would be loving and kind. Now, in the culture of Palestine, as in so many cultures, even today, when young people fall in love, the families come together to discuss the arrangements and to determine days and times. In her day, it would be a bridal price that would be part of the discussion, and they would meet together. And so it would seem from the accounts of the gospel writers that the families gave their approval, and the place would have been chosen and the date when they would be married. And because the families agreed, Joseph invites Mary to become his wife, and Mary pledges her life to him. And the whole neighborhood would rejoice, and plans for a wedding would begin. Now, having gone on a number of occasions to Africa, I saw firsthand how that works. When two young people fall in love and the families come together to discuss the wedding arrangements, once everything has been agreed, there's a great deal of excitement and rejoicing in the village. And that's exactly what would have happened here in Nazareth. Now, between the pledge and the wedding, there would have been a 6-month, possibly 12-month period. But in that period, the couple are considered married and were called, in fact, husband and wife. But they didn't live together. They didn't consummate their marriage. There was no physical intimacy. Mary continues to live with her parents, and it's only after the public wedding feast that Mary and Joseph would live together fully as husband and wife. Like any prospective bride, I would think she can hardly think of anything else. You can imagine her thoughts at this time. Who should we invite to the wedding? What about the flowers? What about the food? What about the music? And of course, what about the dress that she would wear? These were exciting times in her life. This lovely teenage girl, with a limited education, praise and worship for the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus. Gabriel was a special angel. He had earlier appeared to Zechariah, and 500 years earlier, he had come to Daniel. And each time he appears, it's to bring an important message from God. And so the message to Mary was extremely important. And he begins with a greeting. He speaks of her as being a favored woman and tells her that the Lord is with her. We read that in the verse together. And we read too that initially she is somewhat confused, perhaps disturbed. What can this angel mean that I am a favored woman? But without a pause, Gabriel begins to proceed and to tell her that she's to have a baby. She's to give birth to the Son of God, and his name would be Jesus. So as Mary listens carefully to what the angel is saying to her, she begins to have questions in her mind. How can this happen, she said. How can I be having a baby? I am a virgin. And Gabriel replies that the Holy Spirit will come upon you. The Most High will overshadow you. So the baby that will be born will be holy and will be called the Son of God. Mary will be with child as a direct intervention of God. As with many miracles, particularly those that we read about in the Gospels, not all are believed. Today, when we hear of a miracle, sometimes people are extremely skeptical. But the miracle of the virgin birth is important to accept, because it's the coming into the world of the Savior who would be born holy. Adam was created sinless, but he sinned and he failed. Jesus never disobeyed God. He was free from a sinful nature. He was fully human, but he was also divine. He was the Emmanuel, the God with us. Just in case Mary had any doubts, Gabriel tells her that an older relative, Elizabeth by name, is going to have a child. She had been barren, and she and her husband had prayed earnestly for a child, but it seemed that God was not hearing their prayer or not answering it. And as they reached advanced years, and particularly as Elizabeth went beyond the years of conceiving a child, the angel came to her husband, and the miracle of God was that she would have a baby. And you know, the angel said to Mary, "Mary, God is the God of miracles. If God can do this for your cousin Elizabeth, he can do it for you." And then we read that lovely little verse, I think it's verse 37, "For nothing is impossible with God." Now it's clear from the scriptures that we've read together that during this conversation that she has with Gabriel, that she accepts God's will for her life. Hear Mary's response. "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true. I was reading, Ken's not here this morning, I think he's been called out on an emergency, but I was reading one of his favorite commentators, Warren Wisby, and he says that in the words of Mary that I have just quoted to you, this is possibly the greatest statement of faith in the Bible. We hear it so often, particularly at this season of the year, that we forget how really important it is. Mary is saying to God, yes, whatever it is that you want from me, I'm ready to obey you. Mary in the morning is planning a marriage, a wedding. And by evening, she is about to become pregnant and give birth to the Son of God. What was Mary saying in response to Angel Gabriel's request? It was a simple yes. Yes to God's request. Yes to the impossible. Yes to God's plan. What a remarkable girl this young woman is. And Gabriel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. All of the uncertainties and fears that you have, they'll go away." And we can't begin to underestimate what the cost would be to Mary. There would be the rumors in the village. There would be the gossip, the public shame. In her culture, her reputation would be trashed. Her dreams of a wedding would abruptly come to an end. And then there was Joseph, the man that she loved. How would he react to the news that she was having a baby that was not his? Would he be angry? Would he try to publicly humiliate her? We know from Scripture that he was an honorable man. And so he seemed to be thinking, the best thing for me is to divorce her, but to do this quietly. But at this point, an angel, and remember the Christmas story is all about miracles, all about angels. At this point, an angel again intervenes, and he says to Joseph that he should not take that course of action, because the child that Mary will birth will be none other than the Savior of the world, the Son of God. Now, both Mary and Joseph would not understand fully at this point the cost by saying yes to God. And perhaps it's as well that they didn't. Who knows what life can bring to any of us in the years that lie before us. Mary was spared the knowledge of knowing what would be before her, and the full cost that she would have to pay as being the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. But by saying yes, Mary never looked back. She believed God when all seemed impossible. Mary stands out in Scripture as an example of someone who, despite all of the uncertainties of life, is willing to put her faith and trust in the living God. I have no doubt that Mary would wonder why God would want to choose her, this ordinary woman, this young girl from Nazareth. Why not someone important from Jerusalem? Why come to Nazareth to choose her, to make her the chosen vessel to bring the Messiah into the world. In her song of praise later, which we know as the Magnificent, she speaks of herself as the lowly servant girl. When it comes to God's sovereignty, there are questions that we cannot answer. Why me? Why is God working in my life? Why does God use me to serve him? Why has God allowed me to have the faith to believe in him? As ordinary as we are, the truth is that God sees in each one of us a person of value. He wants us to be his children, part of his family. He wants us to know him personally as our Heavenly Father, to be able to enter into his presence as our Father, Abba Father, our Father who lives in heaven. And so God looks into Mary's heart and he sees in her a person that he could trust. He knew that she would believe the impossible. He knew that she was willing to pay the price. When Mary and Joseph stepped out on their journey of faith, they could not have imagined what lay before them. However, there is no better way to begin married life than both of them trusting in God. And Joseph and Mary, their faith was in the living God. There would be many challenges they would have to face together, but they together believed that all things are possible with God. And as they faced the future, they would draw strength from the Lord who said, "I will never leave you, nor will I forsake you." Later, Mary would give birth in a cattle shed, with only Joseph there, it would seem, to support her. Those early years would be difficult, part of them spent in the country of Egypt as refugees. But through all the adventures that they did and came through, all of the trials, the Lord was with them. Mary comes to us this morning as a great example of someone, despite all the uncertainties of life, is willing to put her faith and trust in the living God. I have no doubt that there would be times when Mary would wonder why God had chosen her to bring the Messiah into the world. But she accepted that in faith, and she sought to serve God for the rest of her life. God looked into Mary's heart. He loved her, and he saw that she was someone that he could trust. This woman is a wonderful person for us to reflect upon this morning. A woman that allowed her story to merge with God's story. And what does God want from us today? The same thing he wanted from Mary. Simple faith and trust in him and obedience to him. If we're not a Christian, why not set aside your uncertainties and open up your life to the God who loves you and put your trust in the Lord Jesus? That can be done at any time because the Lord is there waiting and welcoming us to turn to him. For those of us who are Christians, indeed for all of us, God calls us to serve him, just as he called Mary. And let us, in conclusion, remember those lovely words that the angel said to Mary in that conversation that he had with her. Nothing is impossible with God. So over this Christmas season, we will think a great deal of the coming into the world of the Lord Jesus, the purpose and reason that brought him here to reconcile us to a holy God, to give his life for us ultimately on the cross at Calvary. And we will, of course, as Bob pointed out, take time to be with family. There will be all of the glitter, the sharing of presents, the social activities that always come during this season. But maybe we can take a little bit of time just to reflect upon the real meaning of Christmas and to remember how Mary obeyed God, an ordinary young girl from a very ordinary situation. God used her in a miraculous and mighty way, and God can use each one of us in the same way if we open up our hearts and lives to him. Nothing is impossible with God.